Let's all grab a songbook, church hymnal.
56? No. Amazing Grace, 57. Let's all stand to our feet, sing verse 1 and verse 4. James, you want to start that off? You want Brother Bob to start it off?
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. I believe it's important today that we let Satan know that the children of God are on the same page. And if you stood in that song and you thought that was weird or you didn't like to sing, then maybe you need to be on the same page as everybody else.
That's right.
Not the world, but God's people.
Amen.
This morning, as we have been seeming like the last couple of weeks, we've been had this thought just about what it is and to be saved and how to get saved. And this morning, we're going to be taking some scriptures out of the book of Acts chapter 8. If you have your Bibles with you, we encourage you to turn with us over there. Really, sometimes I believe, and I said this a couple of weeks ago when we preached the message then, sometimes we are in the way for a while and we take for granted some of the things that we have learned over the years. And we automatically think, or we automatically have this perception that everyone knows the way of salvation. But then we need to remember and recall to ourselves what it was like when we were lost and everything seemed foreign to us. Because we didn't fully understand salvation. We didn't know how it occurred. We didn't know what steps had to be there and taken, and the things that would take place. And so oftentimes as people, as children of God, and I said that then and I'll say it again today, as we desire to see people saved, but we fail in showing them or expressing to them the way to get saved. It's easy to tell somebody, well, you got to believe. You just got to believe and you be saved. Well, listen, if believing God in your mind was all it took, then everybody'd be saved. It's more than just simply saying you got to believe. The Bible says that you have to believe from your heart. Hey, listen, there's some steps that need to take place for you to be from a sinner and that to be a child of God. Hey, listen, and you might say here today, you might be sitting here and say, I've been saved for 10 years. I've been saved 20 years. I don't need this message. We're going to get to you in a little while. So I want you to sit tight and pay attention and get on the same page, listen, as God, so we can get desires and sincere about getting our lost people saved. I'm tired. I don't know about you. I'm tired of watching people come in here lost and leaving this house lost. This is God's house. Hey, listen, we ought to be on fire for God. We ought to tell Satan where to go. Hey, listen, he don't have a part in this building. This is the work of God. Hey, listen, and it's God's desire to see our lost people saved. And it's up to us to get on fire for the Lord. And get in a place where we can be the bride of Christ and we can get in travail and have a heart and a sincere desire to see Him move out of the depths of hell into the gates of heaven. Are you on the same page this morning? I hope and pray that you are. It'd do us all good to get on the same page every once in a while. Hey, listen, so you might say, well, what are you telling? Now you're just preaching mad. I'm not trying to preach mad. I'm going to preach love to you in a minute. Hey, listen, but sometimes we need to have instructions given unto us to know where we need to be standing. Hey, listen, and that's good measure for all of us here today. I want to see your people saved. You ought to want to see your people saved. Hey, listen, we got lost people in the house that come here time in and time out. Hey, listen, I want them to be able to walk out those doors, raise their hands towards heaven, and say, thank God I'm on my way to glory. Thank God he saved me. I want them to look back at Riverside and Point and say, there's an altar in that building that I got on my knees one day, and it changed my life because God changed my heart, and I met him at that place right there. I want that for you. As a church, we ought to want that for our lost people. The Bible says this in 8th chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible gives us an account real clearly here in the 26th verse about the Ethiopian eunuch. We preached this before. We all know that Philip was preaching. Hey, listen, he was going around, and after the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, those men were preaching in Jerusalem and around that surrounding area. And it says, an angel of the Lord in verse 26 spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south and the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man, an Ethiopian eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And when the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place where the scripture which were read was this: he was led as a sheep unto the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before the shears. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speak the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began to the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. You can be seated this morning. Hey, listen, but we all know what happened as he began to preach unto them Jesus. He began to tell them about Christ and the life of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it got on down there a little bit further, and that man, he saw some water, and he said, hey, what hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, he said, you may be baptized. Hey, listen, we all know what happened from there. But as we begin to look at this scripture, we find, hey, listen, in another part of the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, I believe it was, and that was the time of the day of Pentecost, when Peter had stepped out and began to preach in Jerusalem. You realize when the Bible tells us when those men stepped out there and they started preaching early in that day, they said, hey, it's the third hour, these men are drunk. And Peter said, it's early in the morning, we're not drunk, but we just preaching the Spirit of God, the Word of God, we're preaching Jesus Christ. And listen, I looked it up this morning, and it said that whole list there in Acts chapter 2, and it said that those men together around that city, they marveled, the Bible said, and it said, are these all these men, are not these Galileans who are preaching us? They said, hey, we're hearing it in our own language right now. And they begin to go on where they were from, the different parts, in relationship to where Jerusalem was. You realize there were some cities there were mentioned were 1,000 miles away, many of them were 800 miles away, many of them were 500, 400 miles away. How could this be that these 11 men stepped out into the streets of Jerusalem and they began to preach, and all those people and the travelers that had come from thousands of miles, hundreds of miles, heard the Word of God preached in their own language? I'm telling you something, Trent. It takes more than telling someone that they have to believe in God. It takes the power of the Word of God. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Peter stood up and he began to tell them everything that the Lord had done from the days of old, through the time of Moses, through the life of David, he said he is now reared up unto us. And listen, Jesus Christ, who had determined a counsel had taken, and they put him on the cross. But I want you to know, he said, now, listen, he is set down. He is God. He is Lord. He is our Savior. And listen, he was telling them quite plainly that they had to understand for themselves just exactly who this man was. You have to come to an understanding and realize that Jesus is Lord and Christ. That's why it is is so important that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. Hey, you can go to hundreds of churches in this land and they'll preach to you a good feeling gospel. Or they'll preach to you a good way. Or they'll preach to you a moral way and how to live morally. But they may never mention the name of Jesus Christ. And if they don't mention the name of Jesus Christ, you might as well hit the door and get away from them. Because in order for you to be saved, you have to first realize who Jesus is. And I've said it before, the hub of every message that's ever preached, hey listen, ought to have Jesus Christ right smack dab in the center of it. Because you'll never get born again until you recognize Him for who He is and what He did for you and I. Hey listen, when you begin to understand who Jesus is, hey listen, you start understanding what the importance of the gospel of Christ is. Hey listen, it moves mankind one step closer to God. Hey listen, it takes him from where his thoughts were and what his ideas were, and it puts him smack dab in the middle. Hey, listen, of a place where he is can get a hold of God. Why? Because when you realize that Jesus is the Son of God, you've taken a step from the direction you were at and the dark place you were in, and you move toward heaven. Didn't say you got saved. Said you just moved close. Hey, listen, because there's many people that come to the point. Hey, listen, church, you come and pray with these people if you want to. You're not going to disturb me at all. Hey, listen, they'll move up to the point. And the Bible talks about coming up to a point and then falling backwards. Hey, listen, there's been a whole lot of folks that come and heard the gospel. And it bring conviction to their heart. And it shows them what Jesus is. And they start to understand it for a little bit. But then they'll turn and they'll walk away. Oh, it breaks our heart when folks turn and walk away from the gospel because the gospel is the greatest thing ever given unto us. Hey, listen, we know that once you realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached and you start to understand who Jesus is and you start to understand what His purpose was for you and I and what His purpose was for all of mankind, you quickly begin to acknowledge. Hey, listen, when you realize that, you acknowledge it for who He is. You know then that Jesus is the truth. I'm going to step through here real carefully because there's some things you need to understand. So when you come to that knowledge of Christ and you acknowledge Him for what He is, you realize then if you acknowledge Him for what He is and who He is, and you acknowledge His life, then you start to understand that, hey listen, if you're going to acknowledge Him for what He said, for who He is and what He done, then you're going to have to acknowledge Him in that He is the truth. And when you begin to acknowledge Him as the truth, you start to understand the scripture when Jesus Christ told him. Hey, listen, when he was there after he had come up out of the grave and had gathered with the 12 disciples, and I believe it was Thomas, he come to him and the Lord talked to him about the way. And he said, to where I go, you know, the way you know. And Thomas said, how do we know? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we recognize the words of Jesus Christ as the truth, and then we also recognize Him as the only way, and we recognize Him as the life, and we recognize Him as the power from God, the source of our salvation. The gospel must be preached. Not a watered down gospel. Not a diluted gospel. Not man's vision or version of the gospel. I'm talking the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God through a man who's been called by God to preach the truth, who is unwavering and unconcerned about what the world might think of him at the time, but is willing to step out and go out to the desert places as was directed to Philip, to step out like Peter and John did right in the heart of Jerusalem when they told him to shut up or they're going to put him in prison. They said, hey, do we please man or do we please God? We've made it up our minds to please God. Listen, just like Peter and Paul and Silas when they were down in the jail in Philippi, and you all know the story there. At the same time, they were worshiping God in the midnight heaven, bruises and bleeding from their backs because they've been beaten and bruised around the wrists and ankles because of the chains and the fetters that held them in the midnight. Nonetheless, they preached and they began to sing the praises of God because they knew what they had in their heart. And so it is, we start realizing then who He is. There's none of us here today that were ever saved that didn't first realize who Jesus was. The first step toward salvation for each and every one of us was to having heard the gospel preached
And coming to the understanding and realization that this man we had heard about in our life, this man that our mom and dad had talked to us about, this man that our grandparents had told us about, that all of a sudden this man was more than just a name in a book. He was more than just a page. He was more than just a life that was lived and listen, words that were spoken in parables unto us. It was more than just writing in the reds on the pages of a Bible. This man was real. And listen, he was set down at the right hand of the Father on high. And he loved us because he died for us and he rose for us that we could be set free. And you realize why he lived. You realize why he died. Then you start understanding what it was that you need to do. Because when you realize and understand the life of Christ, it brings you to a point in your life where you realize that you've fallen short of God. Because he was the propitiation. He was the sacrifice. He was the remedy. He was the one that stood in the gap, because when you realize who he is and you realize that he is the way and the truth and the life, then you must also realize that without him, you are on your way to hell. That without him, you're going to burn forever. Without him, you're going to be separated from God. And without him, that your sins, hey listen, are an open book in the eyes of God, and there are no remission for your sins in God's eyes. Without Jesus Christ. And so therefore then the second part of salvation to any one of us is once we recognize who he was and what he did, and we realize that Jesus is Lord and that he is Christ and he is God and he's our only hope for heaven, then we realize we fell short. The Bible says in that 8th chapter that the eunuch there in the book of Acts, he began to talk to Philip. And he said, how can I let someone show me or guide me? And Philip began to preach Jesus. That was the first step. It has to be preached. And once he preached Jesus, the man got down there and he said, I want to be baptized. What hinders me? And Philip told him, he said, well, you can be if you believe with all your heart. He didn't tell him to believe the words. He didn't tell him to believe the book. He told him, he said, you have to believe him from your heart. The man said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What he was doing there was simply confessing and repenting. There's a difference. Confession, I wrote it down. Confession is to admit you're guilty. You know what? The Bible doesn't say confess and be saved. It says repent and be saved. There's a whole lot of people that get to the point where they've heard the gospel of Christ preached and they understand it and they say, well, I believe that Jesus, I'll confess I'm guilty. But confession is just admitting your guilt. What repentance is having remorse and regret about it. From the heart. Hey, listen, and then once you do that, you commend your life. I mean, you commit yourself and you commend your life in the hands of God. What does the word commend mean? The word commend means present for approval or acceptance. So you recognize, hey, listen, you confess that you're lost. You confess that you're a sinner. You confess, you know that you're guilty. But then you come to an altar and you repent of that. And listen, you say, God, that's what this man, I believe that Christ is the Son of God. In essence, we're saying, I know that he come for my sins. I know that I'm guilty. I know that I was the one that he died for. I know I'm the one that he shed his blood for. And God, I believe him and I trust him. Hey, listen, what he was doing was repenting. Hey, listen, he was coming to God for approval. He was bringing himself up for acceptance, that God would accept him. And then once you repent, hey, listen, you just give him your life. You hand it over. Because when we repented on the altar, what were we praying? God, forgive me. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I need help. Lord, I want you to save me. Listen, and you prayed that prayer. You were confessing. You were repenting. But at the end you said, I don't care what it takes, God. My life is yours. You commend it over. It's yours, God. Would you please accept me? I'm done trying on my own. I'm done lying to myself. I'm done lying to others. I'm just giving you all my life. In the very moment that you do that. Hey, listen, the Bible tells me that God is not slack concerning His promises to us, but He sent His Son so He could shed His blood so that we could believe with our whole heart. And listen, we know that if we believe with our whole heart, He said, I'll save you. I'll be found with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. I'll go with you even until the end of the world. And you're mine. Hey, listen, and the Bible says that we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. When we lay our life on the altar and we beg the acceptance and the approval of God because we have had faith and we believe in the only begotten Son, and that's the only way you can beg acceptance and approval of God. You're not going to beg God's approval for the life that you live. You beg God's approval because of the Son that you have faith in. Because it was His blood that covered your sins. It's His blood that can take them out of the way. It's His blood that the Father won't look past. It's His blood when a father sees, he says, that's one of mine. He's commended Himself unto you. He's believed in my Son. He's believed in my word. He's believed in the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And I shall give him an eternal home in heaven.
Yeah.
So we repent. And then after we repent, what takes place? You person that's lost, I've heard the gospel. But if I go to repent, if I cry out and I repent and I say I believe, you have to give wholly. Commend it all. You've got to give it all.
Surrender.
And when you surrender it all and there's nothing left, you're not holding anything back.
That's right.
Then God completes the promise.
Amen.
He's already promised you eternity in a heaven if you just give Him everything.
Yeah.
But we preached that the other day and we preached it in the past. But some people say, well, how do you know then? How will I know? Victor, how will I know? I mean, when my mom and dad tells me all I got to do is believe in Christ, and I believe in Christ. They say I got to repent. Well, I've tried to repent. I'm guilty. Lord, save me. How will I know? Well, when you finally have given it all, and there's nothing left, and God accepts it, because you're not trying to hold anything back, you're not trying to do anything on your own, then God completes the promise. Christ said, I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. And so God, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we could go over there real quick because it's wonderful scripture. If you have it, wonderful scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said this. He said, for we know that if our earthly house be of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God and house
Amen.
Not made with hands, eternal
That's
into heaven.
Right. Amen.
Thank God. So the Lord completes the promise and He gives us an eternal home in the heaven. How do you know that's real? How do you know that place even exists? What makes you so sure? Well, in verse 5, He says, now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. So therefore, Paul was writing to these people in Corinth here. He was saying that we know that if this earthly house or this tabernacle be dissolved, in other words, I know that if I die, I've got an eternal home in the heavens. And you don't have to wonder why, because God, or ask me why, I'm going to tell you, because God has already given me the down payment of the Holy Ghost that lives in my heart. I know that God is real. I know that I was born again. I know that I got saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. And there's not enough demons in hell that can talk me out of it, because my Father is a heavenly Father, and I've got a brother who loved me and died for me and gave His life, and He saved me one day. And now I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus, because I've received the earnest of the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, you don't belong to God. And that's not very popular in our world today. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, listen, you need to get on an altar and get on your heart. Get your heart right with God and get down on your knees and pray real hard. Because the Bible tells us plainly that without the Spirit, you're none of His.
Yeah, right. Amen. That's right.
I'm not talking about a spirit that made you feel guilty. I'm not talking about the knocking of the Holy Ghost. If the knocking is all you ever felt, you ain't let Him in. If you still come to the church and you feel a knocking, hey, listen, something's missing in your life. You're still lost.
Right.
You need to get on an altar and give it all. But preacher, I've prayed. A lot of people have prayed. Hey, listen, I've witnessed people, and for some reason I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to offend any of you young ladies whatsoever, and I'll even throw this in here for good measure. And I'm not going to try to offend any of you young men, young boys, whatsoever, but the simple fact of the truth of the matter is it's truth. Most of these young girls are smarter than young boys. Right? And I'll just throw that out there. But I've seen more young ladies on the altar praying and trying to analyze the way of salvation. And they're trying to figure it all out. I've seen young boys do that too. But it seems like young boys, when they come to the knowledge and they know they're lost, they're just willing to give it up. Hey man, I'm just give you everything. I've seen young ladies on the altar, they wrestle with it. And I've often said they're just too analytical. They're trying to figure things out on your own. Let me give us all some advice right now. We're never going to figure out the way of God. We're never going to figure out the process of salvation. But all I can tell you is this and give you some advice. Simply believe it from the depths of your heart and just give Him everything. And when you've decided that you're not going to figure it out and there's no way you're going to figure it out in your mind and you're just going to have to believe it from your heart, He said, you shall be saved. Hey, listen, so Apostle Paul wrote to him. He said, I've got the earnest of the Spirit. But then he goes on to this. Verse 17 of that same chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You remember the day when everything became new?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, that was the same day you got up off the altar. Amen. It wasn't years down the road. It wasn't next week. It wasn't tomorrow. When God saved you, it didn't take Him all day. It didn't take a 12-step program. It didn't take going to counseling. It didn't take schooling. God saves you. And He said, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Paul writes and sums it all up here. He said, He had given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what Christ does, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is simply the ministry to reconcile us back to the Father. Because sin had separated us. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, if God was to commit to look at each and every one of us, and if He was to impute our trespasses unto us, holy and deserving of what we, hey, listen, of the wrath of God that we had coming because of the sin in our life, let me tell you, friend, we'd all be in deep, deep trouble. But I thank God that He sent His own Son into this world. And instead of imputing our trespasses to us to where we would face judgment, He gave us the ministry of reconciliation through His own Son, that we can be reconciled back and escape the wrath of God. So where is the wrath of God? It's coming. It's still coming. But I've escaped.
Amen.
You can escape.
Yeah.
Sister Michaela sung the song, I'm feasting with the King. She was singing a song. I thought, as good as it is to feast with a king in the house of God, how much better is it going to be when we sit down on the other side and we feast with Him there?
Yeah.
And so Paul wrote to him about all the things that God had done. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. That's all of us that are saved. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Yeah.
We're not righteous on our own behalf, and we're not righteous by our own doing. We are righteous through Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's through the blood of Christ that we fulfill the righteousness of God.
Right.
And in the nutshell of 30 minutes, that's basics of salvation. The gospel must be preached. You must confess and repent and commend your spirit, your heart, your life over to Him. And then God will fill you with the Holy Ghost and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Say, preacher, that's pretty easy. Where do we go from here? Well, this is to us now. Where do we go from here once we're saved? We live it. You live it. Your salvation experience should be much more than one occasion that you recall every now and then. Your salvation experience ought to be lived every day of your life from the time that you're saved. And we talked about this in Sunday school. But you grow in the way of God. We've been teaching in the book of Galatians, whenever Brother James is unable to teach a Sunday school, about the fruit of the Spirit. And we mentioned it again this morning in Sunday school. But as a child of God, you're like a babe. I mean, it being born again is we can take that analogy from the natural side and apply it to the spiritual side as well. But you are a babe in Christ Jesus. You don't know everything. You can also take the analogy, as we're going to do now, for a tree, and then you're just a sapling. You've just been put in the ground and you're taken care of. And God just, and He spreads things out there to feed you, and He waters you. And you come in and you feel the presence of God. And and the Lord will send a song that will touch your heart. And God will send a message that will allow you to grow a little bit. And God will put men and women in your life who will be benefit, and they'll encourage you, and they'll help you grow in this Christian life. Hey, listen, as we said this morning, nobody got up off the altar and they were a fruit-bearing tree that had been blossomed out over 20 or 30 years. Hey, listen, but you got up on the altar and you were a babe. But if you live it, you grow in it, you'll start bearing the fruit of it. So that in essence then, God is feeding you and supplying you. And God will come by and He'll see the fruits in your life. And what the fruits in your life do is they give glory back to God. And the fruits in your life that glorify God are a blessing to those who are in need and maybe need help. Because they can look at your life and you're light. Because you're planted and you've grown. And you encourage them. So not only are you encouragement to those around you who need encouraged, but you're a light to the lost. And then your life is to the glory of God. You realize then that when we're saved, our life is not ours, it's God's. There's a lot of people living in this world today think their life belongs to them. Your life don't belong to you. It belongs to God. So are you going to live your life to the glory of God? Or are you going to live your life to the destruction of your own soul, to where you face the wrath of God? I don't know about you, but I want to give God everything. I want Him to take my life and put it in His hand. I put my life in His hand. I've prayed for many of you here, and I prayed for my own children that God would just touch them and they would put their life in His hand. And in closing, I'm going to say this. It'd be far better for you right now, if you're lost, to put your life in the hand of God than to die lost and fall into the hands of a just God. One way or another, you're going to end up in the hand of God. You're either going to come to Him and ask Him to take your life and put it in His protecting hand, or you're going to die lost and you're going to fall into His hand and face His wrath and be separated to outer darkness and a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Salvation is easy if you just break it down in the simple steps. Hey, listen, God said that He made this way easy. That even a wayfaring man, though a fool, could not err therein. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All you that labor and are heavy laden. You want to know why they were laboring? Because they were struggling and fighting with sin. You know why they were heavy laden? Because the weight of sin was too big, it was too heavy. He said, come to me. Amen. Come to me, is what Jesus said. I'll give you rest. Love you today. Let's stand to our feet. Right now, let's pray together. Let's pray that our lost people get saved. Pray that they would move to this altar. Pray that the Lord would touch their heart and deal with them. And when He knocks, that they would open. If you're here lost right now, you need to open up right now. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised next week. You're not promised next Sunday. You're not promised vacation Bible school. The only thing that is promised unto mankind is that our habitations have been set. The bounds are out there and death is coming. God is merciful and He'll extend mercy to you. And He'll extend mercy to me. But if you choose to walk over and you choose to turn around and walk away from God's mercy and you walk away from Jesus Christ, hey man, there's nothing left for you but the wrath of God. It ought to scare you to death to fall in the hands of God. The Bible said He's not a respecter of persons. To me, what that means is He'll save you if you come, no matter who you are. But also what it means is, hey listen, He'll turn His back and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, no matter who you are. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Christ or it's hell. You can come right now. Give Him everything. Church, I thank you for your prayers. Let's keep praying for a loss. And we need to get them on our heart. Someone have a testimony, anything on your heart before we make an announcement?